It's fairly easy on a gospel reading like we've had this evening to kind of put the focus on the main part of the story about the woman. But there's some details before that that are significant. Notice how it said Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and the next morning he comes back to the temple. I'd like for you to recall about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I talked about, it was on the feast of the the gospel of the transfiguration, how the cloud came down over the apostles, and that in the Old Testament, very often the cloud is really a sign of God's presence, God's glory. So when the temple was dedicated under King Solomon, the Bible tells us that the cloud of God's glory descended on the temple and filled the temple with God's presence, with God's glory. And then in the prophet Jeremiah, there's a passage in which there is a vision, and he sees the cloud being lifted from the temple and going to the Mount of Olives. The presence of God, the glory of God, left the temple because of the sinfulness of the people. But in the gospel today, Jesus comes from the Mount of Olives and he comes back to the temple. And so in a very real sense, the presence of God, the glory of God, came back to the temple in the person of Jesus Christ. John is wanting to convey that awareness to us, that this Jesus is the very presence of God. He is the very God. He wants us to know that. Now in the story itself, it says there was a large crowd that gathered around Jesus and he began to teach them. But notice what the scribes and Pharisees do. It says they bring that woman right into the middle of the crowd and they let everybody know what her sin was. Can you imagine the humiliation, the shame that woman would have felt? And yet, they weren't really concerned about that. At least, it doesn't look like it. They were concerned about condemning her, stoning her. And of course, they were concerned about trapping Jesus. Because if he said, stone her, they would accuse him of not being merciful. If they said, don't stone her, then they could accuse him of not following the law of Moses. Now, contrast that to the attitude of Jesus. He wasn't out to condemn her. He wasn't out to punish her. His concern was to save her. And so he calls her to change her life. He says, neither do I condemn you, but from now on, stop sinning. He wanted the best for her. It's another manifestation of the great mercy of God. When we are in sin, God wants not to condemn and punish, but to bestow mercy and to bring us back to Him so that we can have eternal life. In the second reading, and that reading happens to be one that I dearly love. It's one point in my life, it was very significant. But Paul has found mercy when Jesus Christ was revealed to him. And he deeply felt the need for mercy. because he had been part of stoning the first Christian martyr, Stephen. He didn't throw stones, but it says they piled their cloaks at his feet. He had tried hard to persecute the Church of Jesus Christ. And then suddenly, Jesus revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. And his life changed totally. But Paul felt the great mercy of God. And in that reading today, he testifies that for him, there's nothing more important than knowing Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, sharing his suffering by being conformed to his death in order to attain the resurrection from the dead. And then he makes that rather bold statement. He says, he considers all else to be rubbish in light of this knowledge that he has of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else was important to Paul but to know Christ Jesus and to share in his risen life. You know, Lent is meant to be a time for you and I to reevaluate our lives. You know, so much of our lives are wasted in preoccupations about things that won't really matter once we leave this life. You know, preoccupations with things like, what do others think? The things I possess or want to possess? Whether I'm successful in the eyes of the world? Could list others. But we really spend a great deal of time and energy focusing on those things. And in the end, they won't matter. What will matter is what St. Paul says was important for him. That we come to know Christ Jesus, we share in his suffering, so that we can share in his rising. That will be the thing that will matter to us. There's a very unusual phrase in that reading today, and I don't know that it ever stood out for me before until this year when I read it. St. Paul says, I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Christ possessed him. What is he saying? I think what he is saying is that he surrendered himself fully, totally into the hands of Christ Jesus. That the only thing that mattered to him anymore was that he could proclaim Christ and that he could share the risen life of Christ. He had surrendered himself so totally, so fully, that he sensed that Christ Jesus possessed him, that he belonged to Christ Jesus. It's a powerful thought, how much he surrendered to Christ Jesus. Christ became the very center, the very goal of his life. You know, as we come now to these last 2 weeks of Lent, it's a good time for us to take a look at our own lives and say, what is the center of my life? Where do I spend my time and energy? Is sharing Christ's life the most important thing there is to me? Or are there a lot of other things that dominate my life that someday are going to go away? They won't matter. Can we bring ourselves back to the one thing that will really matter for all eternity? That we are in Christ Jesus. We share his life, or to use Paul's words, we are possessed by Christ Jesus. That's what will really matter in the end. During this Lent, Jesus invites each of us to reorient our lives. But we do that trusting in his mercy, confident that if he was merciful to that woman caught in adultery, he will also be merciful to you and I. And he tells us that he will not condemn us, but on the other hand, we must avoid sin.